And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Happy Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which means, of course, it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, go ahead and interact with comments and or questions on Twitter during the show. Use the hashtag #TJRS. Follow me at Tammy J, TAMIJ. I try to keep an eye on Twitter. I try to multitask as we're going through these shows because I usually have fantastic guests, interesting topics. I know that you want to be sounding off. Now, let's get started. My first guest tonight for a repeat performance is Lawrence Schoenbrunn. Lawrence Schoenbrunn is the executive director of Class Action Watch. It's a nonprofit organization. It's nationally recognized authority on the issue of the reasonableness of attorney's fees awards in class action suits. Now, he's appeared on behalf of unnamed class members in approximately 150 class action suits throughout the U.S. He's also testified before the U.S. Congress on the issue of attorney contingency fees and before the California Senate Judiciary Committee on class action reform legislation. Lawrence Schoenbrunn, welcome back to the Tammy Jackson Show.
Tammy, thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Good. I so enjoyed having you on last fall, as I told you before we went on air, and I wanted to have you back. There's certainly a lot of ground to cover. And last time we talked about what it is you do, a number of people contacted me amazed by what they heard. Most of us, Joe Public, we don't know the ins and outs and what really happens in these class action suits. So I thought, well, we'll do just a little brief refresher course for everybody listening in case they weren't on board listening last fall. We talked about the Lafitte case, which was based on the Serrano case, wherein plaintiff's lawyers, they were awarded $25 million or so in attorney's fees, and even though class members, they received only $74,000, I believe. So, Lawrence, would you explain how in the world attorneys can walk away with $25 million and class members only total of $74,000, I believe?
Well, you have to, the way I would describe it is this. When class actions got started, I don't know, in the 60s, I think, the evil 60s, some law professors and reformers got together and were concerned about the issue of the company or the business who takes a dollar from everybody and winds up with $1 million, but for $1, no one can sue. And they devised the class action. It was all about class members, the general public being ripped off and compensating the general public. Now, I think what happens in a lot of circumstances is that over the course of the 20 or 30 years, the lawyers and the judges and the defendants, everyone who has an interest in this, figures out how to work together to make it sort of the best for them. And unfortunately, as in many things in life, the general public is at the general public's expense. So when you say, how can the lawyers get $20 million, the class gets $750,000, The legal answer to that one is the lawyers will say to the judge, Your Honor, if every class member filed a claim in this case, the case was worth, let's say, $80 million. Everyone knows every class member is not going to file a claim. In fact, very few class members are going to file a claim. So the judge will run with the lead. The defendants have an interest. They're working together. The defendants want to tell the judge, oh, this is an $80 million settlement. The plaintiff's lawyers want to say, oh, this is an $80 million settlement. And that's the way they sell it to the judge, who knows what's going on, but this allows him to get rid of the case. No one, very few people file a claim. The lawyers get all their money on to the next case.
Wow. It's pretty much, to me, a scam. And it seems to be just using the legal system to take advantage of people. I guess that's human nature. But, man, I'm glad somebody like you is shedding the light of day on it. I want to go ahead.
I want to say that the problem, I mean, there are so many scams in life. The problem with this one is that lawyers are putting tens of millions and hundreds of millions. I had a case where the fee was $700 million, just the fee.
Good grief.
So the lawyers, the lawyers are getting the kinds of money that you can control a society with. If you have $700 million to give to reporters, to give to expert witnesses, to give to college professors, to give to judges, when you have all this kind of money at your disposal, you can control a society. And that's what happened. These lawyers have taken control of our society.
Wow. And it goes further than that, because we're going to get in today. What I like is the idea and the debate on judicial philosophies. And we're going to get into that a little bit today, because you have some you had an article that I read about fake law. And you start out talking about Judge Neil Gorsuch. And I thought, well, that's a great place to really start, because Neil Gorsuch's SCOTUS confirmation hearings were so adversarial, and I was just amazed. You stated, Lawrence Schoenbrunn, the confirmation debate surrounding President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch highlighted the perennial dispute between the adherents of originalism and supporters of a living constitution over how judges should interpret the U.S. Constitution. Despite this disagreement, however, there has been no dispute that judicial decisions must rest on a strong foundation, the facts of the case, the judicial precedents that make up the relevant case law, and a rational analysis linking the two. In an alarming turn, however, even this basic premise is being challenged by imperious and unaccountable judges that are even getting the facts wrong. Now, Lawrence, I listened to every bit of those Gorsuch hearings, and the level of combativeness and downright rudeness, it was breathtaking. And there were a number, and I know that you probably saw all this, but there were a number of Democratic senators, especially Feinstein, Whitehouse, Franken. Their hostility was so apparent, and especially when contrasted with Judge Gorsuch's gracious forbearance. But they talked a lot about feelings rather than law. They called the Heritage Foundation dangerously radical. Explain the difference between those two judicial philosophies, would you, Lawrence Schoenbrunn?
I will, Tammy, but just before I get into that, I will say that it's as you put it, the graceful forbearance of we conservatives that have gotten us into the shape, gotten this country into the circumstance that it's in.
Right.
So,
we need to push back a little bit.
Exactly. But they control the press. Yes. Well, you know, the dispute, you know, on an intellectual level, it's an interesting dispute. Do you look at the way the framers, what they thought about these issues 200 years ago, figure out their line of thought, and if you think that needs to be changed, the originalists would say there are mechanisms to amend the Constitution. The liberals would say, look, we've got to make these decisions in line with the needs of the society. I remember hearing an interview, I can't think of it, Supreme Court Judge Breyer, and he was saying, you know, he was self-laudatory, but he was basically saying, look, we have these problems, and I don't want to look to the wisdom of people 200 years ago. If they want to be nasty, they'll say old white men 200 years ago, just to seem current. I want to use my brains to figure out what's the best answer to make our society better. And that's the way he would put it. So that's, you know, the best of intentions. The liberals want to make this society, in their opinion, the best they can. The conservatives, the strict constructionalists say, look, we're going to interpret this Constitution the way it was decided. Because, I mean, this is the problem. If we allow the liberals to win this argument, then it's whatever nine judges want to do. We have no Constitution. It's just whatever they want to do, whatever they decide is best. So that's what that dispute is about, I think.
Yeah, and they seem to be getting more and more activist. It's interesting when people, I've studied the Constitution a lot, and I've taught it to students. I'm no legal expert or anything, but our Constitution is such a brilliant document. I think anybody, if they take the time, it's easy to understand. It really, truly is, and it's a phenomenal document. And it seemed to me, between the Constitution itself and all the writings of the founders and the emphasis that they placed on the differing parts of government, be it legislative, executive, or judicial, it would seem that the founders intended the judicial branch to be pretty much the weakest of the three branches, and yet they have become probably one of the strongest branches in the last couple decades, and they've decided some things absolutely without any precedence. And even I, as just a layperson, understand that's not been done before. And as you say, I think that's very, very dangerous.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it becomes tyranny. But, you know, history teaches us. I mean, you know, you look at Rome and Greece and whatever. I mean, it's not surprising that democracy will lead to tyranny. But one thing I want to point out is I believe that these elected representatives, let's say the Congress, have played a role in this. For I heard a very astute person, actually the Federalist Society, who was talking about the fact that the judiciary is a great out for elected representatives. They don't want to take, they want to stay in power. They don't want to take votes on controversial issues so that they can get kicked out of power. So they're quite happy to push all these controversial decisions into the judicial system where these judges can't be kicked out for their votes. So they're really sort of playing together. I mean, you know, everyone has got his hand in the government's pocket to all our a detriment, but I think that the Congress, the elected officials, have a role in why we've gotten to this, you know, judicial, let's say, for lack of a better word, tyranny.
Yeah, it's at the level of a crisis, I would say. There is an argument that these class action cases should be decided by the judges, but now we've got judges in charge of this that have this philosophy that whatever they decide is okay. As you say, it is just tyranny. It's kind of breathtaking to me. And the one thing I want to bring up, and we'll get to it in the next section more, is that a lot of us conservatives have been very concerned about SCOTUS. But the fact is, and you can, we'll be talking about the case that you're part of now, that there are judges throughout the nation that have been appointed by, for instance, Obama, who are very liberal, and they're on appeals courts and so forth, and they are really doing a lot of damage. So it's not just SCOTUS we need to worry about.
Well, you're quite right, but I'm looking at Trump. He's been in office, I don't know how many months. The first thing he should have done was clean out the judiciary. That's the very first thing he should have done. I, from what I read, I don't know specifically, is he's got a thousand appointments he hasn't made yet. He's got judges waiting to be appointed. That should have been the first thing that he did. And in terms of the concern about the other federal courts, you're quite right. The judges are running the country. But I will tell you this. My impression is, let's say you had 5 or 6 conservative Supreme Court judges. The left would do the same thing to the Supreme Court that they're doing to Trump. They don't care. They're out to win.
Yep.
They think they've got God on their side. They think, because they claim to be helping the poor and the oppressed, that anything they do, you know, is wonderful. So all they would, suddenly you'd hear about 9 old white men, you'd hear about how rich they were, how poor they were. They just have a whole campaign against the Supreme Court. I mean, this issue is bigger than the presidency, the Supreme Court. It's about a whole social culture that they've created, and that, you know, huge wars, civil wars. You look at the communist, the Russian Revolution, the French Revolution. Look what's going on in Venezuela. I mean, these are the kind of issues that people kill each other for. Cuba.
Yes.
I think when you talked about the graciousness of Gorsuch, I mean, I think that's a problem. They don't have, you know. They would argue that, I'm making this up, they would argue that graciousness is white privilege. You know, anything that they don't like, that suddenly becomes white privilege. But they're in this to the death. They're killing people now in Berkeley and, you know, all the roughing up, all these demonstrations. I mean, we're living in a nascent Nazi revolution. I could give you a lot of examples of the kinds of things the left is doing is what the Nazis did in Germany in the late 20s, early 30s. So this is what we're facing. This could end in a very, very horrible, it's hard to think about it, but white people could be the modern Jews of Germany. I mean, that's the way it's leading. We're going to become the equivalent of the Jews in Nazi Germany.
My goodness, my goodness. We'll be back and we'll be talking more about Class Action Watch with a case that's going on right now. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about fake law with Lawrence Schoenbrunn. The Tammy Jackson Show, sponsored by Robar Guns, is a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you, the guys down there are real gunsmiths. If you want your old firearm to have new life, you take it to Robar. They will coat it with NP3. That's an electroless nickel plating that is so good. The Department of Defense uses it on parts for their helicopters and even some fighter jets. This stuff is fantastic. Once again, the Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns, found online at robarguns.com.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Back. This is Tammy Jackson with my guest, Lawrence Schoenbrunn. If you're just joining the show, Lawrence Schoenbrunn is the executive director of Class Action Watch. It's a nonprofit organization, nationally recognized authority on the issue of reasonableness of attorneys' fees in class actions. Lawrence, we reviewed the Lafitte case before the break. We talked about the story behind class action suits, the fact that the average plaintiff gets very little, and some of them don't even apply for the relief, whereas the lawyers make out like bandits. And we spoke about Gorsuch, the confirmation hearings, the banter back and forth concerning originalism versus living document philosophy. And so we've got that down. And you made a great point that, yes, Gorsuch was gracious and had the temperament that we all think is great as conservatives. But that's good, but the point you would like to make is that we need to get some spine and start pushing back, waking up and fighting this creeping philosophy that's coming in that would be absolutely tyrannical. And so against the backdrop of the tension of those two radically opposing judicial philosophies, let's talk about your case, Hernandez versus Restoration Hardware. And I asked you during the break, I thought that I knew that it had something to do with zip codes recorded with orders from Restoration Hardware paid for with credit cards. Would you describe the case in layman's terms and enumerate some of the faults and the bad decision-making that's happened?
I'll be happy to. California has a particular statute which forbids companies from asking people who use credit cards when they make purchases from being required to disclose certain information. I'm not sure exactly what it is. This company was asking people who made purchases with credit card to disclose this information that they shouldn't have. So that's what the class action was about. The point of my case initially was that the class counsel and the defendants never told class members that the lawyers were going to get $9 million from the class's recovery, $27 million, and that they were going to go to the judge and ask the judge to approve it. Class members never knew, although the money came out of their recovery. That was what my initial due process argument was. You're taking their money. You have to give them notice so they can object to the, you know, the process, the amount of the fee. What happened was that the court threw out my case entirely. They claimed that it was a 70-year-old Supreme Court case that held that a class member had to intervene. I don't want to get into intervention. Point of the case was, in my case, class members had no notice. In the Court of Appeals decision, Court of Appeals said the class members were aware of the fee negotiation and the request. I cited a California case that said class members are entitled to notice. I cited both the general rule and the exception to the general rule that applied to my case. The Court of Appeals wrote down the general rule, just entirely ignored the exception language, which was the very next sentence in the opinion. And then I cited a U.S. Supreme Court case that said the class members were entitled to notice. Now, the Supreme Court, in its case, U.S. Supreme Court, discussed several cases and said, this is the rule, they're entitled to notice. The Court of Appeals said, in essence, the Supreme Court doesn't know what it's talking about. There's a conflict in the federal courts about this issue. So they basically made up these rulings. And this, to me, goes beyond the issue of originalism versus living document. I was surprised. I think most lawyers would be surprised. I think most citizens would be surprised at just how bad this court system has gotten. I would use the analogy. Let's say you had a governmental body that was proposing a budget, okay? And you read through the budget, and you were seeing that they were making multiplication mistakes, they were making addition subtraction mistakes, they were making division mistakes. You'd say, what the heck is going on here? These are just basic things that the budget department is getting wrong. So that's what's happening in the court system by virtue of what I see in my case. Bear in mind, this is the second highest court in the state of California. Bear in mind, this is not one rogue judge. This was a three-judge panel in a major California city. So I want the people to know, I would almost use this analogy. If you remember, Leona Helmsley,
yes,
said that, remember the famous paying taxes is for the little people?
Yes.
Well, I would say that they've transformed it now so that following the law, that's for the little people. You have now a court system that is operating outside the law, just ignoring the facts, making up the facts, ignoring the case precedent, and just basically doing whatever they want. So I wanted people to know just how serious. It's kind of, I would analogize it maybe to the SEC, for example. The courts seem to have a special place, people, because they issue these opinions, people wear black robes. You think there's something serious and competent going on there. But I've seen now the judiciary, based on my experience in this case, is kind of like the Securities and Exchange Commission trying to investigate Bernie Madoff or of some other VA or the Veterans Administration administering to soldiers. In other words, the judiciary is in very bad shape, based on what I see.
It certainly is. As we said earlier, you wrote in your article about fake law that judicial decisions must rest on a strong foundation, the facts of the case, the judicial precedents that make up the relevant case law, and a rational analysis linking the two. Right now, we've got a judiciary on all levels, I'm discovering, and in large part thanks to you, Lawrence Schoenbrunn. And we need to get busy and tell people about this, which is why I'm so thankful you made the time to be on the show tonight. Thanks for your efforts to restore the rightful place of rule of law, the Constitution, et cetera.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Good. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with talk show host and pundit Scott Jones. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. Rent-A-Computer can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs right to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. A few popular event rental products include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. To learn more, visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Be there to listen.
I can, I will
know the signs.
Seek care early.
Talk to my healthcare provider.
Be there to help, listen, and get you through this.
I can, I will motivate others.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I can, I will be there for my buddies, no matter what.
Be there for our veterans, no matter what.
And I've got your back, too.
I can, I will keep our family safe while you're away.
I can, I will think of you every night.
We're in this together.
I got this.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Welcome Welcome back. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show. Joining me now is Scott Jones. Most of you know who he is, but just in case, Scott Jones has served three U.S. presidents, two Texas governors as a key volunteer staff or government appointee, including two terms as chairman of the Texas Department of Transportation under Governors W.P. Clements and George W. Bush. Scott is founder and host of Pissed Off Politically Speaking, which airs every Monday at 9 a.m. when it's on the 405 radio. Scott Jones, my good friend, welcome back to the show.
Tammy, I'm honored to be with you as always. I miss you guys.
Oh, I miss you too. Hey, and tell us what's going on. Everybody knows that the 405, the Gang of 405 was a long-running, successful show, and we're not doing that anymore. But each of us have had our own shows, and you have Pissed Off Politically Speaking, but you've been on a bit of a sabbatical. I guess you're just living the high and mighty retired life or something.
No, my day job got in the way. Things got busy with that. And you know, Tammy, I've been on the radio. I started on terrestrial radio with a former colleague, Gary Snyder, on WBAT in Indiana, and then got my own show for a year on Indiana Talks. And then, as you know, 4 years ago, I joined the 405. And since the Romney loss in 2012, you know, I've just been battling in the trenches, much like you and John and our other colleagues have been. And I thought after the Trump election, it would get a little bit better. And I don't know, I guess I had done it for an extended period of time without a break. It was starting to get to me. I mean, I was physically not feeling well, and as well as just mentally drained from it all. You know, I use the word, it became enervating, which I stole from Jack Welch, the famous CEO of GE. Enervating meaning it drains you psychologically, mentally, and physically when you argue with idiots. And that's a perfect setup for the topics you've chosen tonight. And candidly, I've only been off for about 3 or 4 weeks. I guess it's three and a half weeks, Tammy. And it's gotten worse since I got off the air.
Okay? Oh, my word. Oh, yes. You know, and by the way, late breaking news for everybody listening, the Dems lost in Georgia. Woohoo. So
yeah, CNN called it first. I was surprised.
Yeah, CNN. Well, we'll see more of the lefties stroking out now that that happened. But yeah, the stuff I wanted to talk about tonight, let's start about talking about the shooting last Wednesday, June 14, when an Illinois man who was an MSNBC and Bernie Sanders fanboy, James Hutchinson, opened fire on Republican congressmen at the Eugene Simpson Stadium Park in Alexandria, Virginia. They were practicing for the annual congressional baseball game for charity. Hutchinson was armed with an SKS rifle and 9mm Smith & Wesson handgun, I'm told. He shot Steve Scalise in the hip. Mike Mika, a lobbyist, was shot several times in the chest. I guess he's been upgraded from critical and is doing better, as is Steve Scalise. And then the police protection detail of Scalise that were there, David Bailey and Crystal Greiner, were phenomenal. And Greiner was shot in the ankle. And then Zach Barth, who was a legislative aide, was shot in the calf. Now, Scott, at first, everyone, even San Fran Nancy Pelosi, was agreeing with Speaker Ryan that an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. They had a little bit of a kumbaya. The baseball game brought in twice as much revenue and began with the congressman. Yeah, the congressman all taking a knee near second base where Scalise was shot and praying. But that didn't last too long.
And I don't think it made it to the third inning. It didn't make it to the third inning, Tammy. They were yelling to kill the bastards on the field when every time the Republicans would score a run. It is so hypocritical. Tammy, you and I have talked about this for years, but I'm telling you that beyond the chattering class like you and me and our colleagues, I do think that a broader swath of Americans are beginning to understand and realize what a hateful, vitriol, disgusting crew of people that liberal progressives are. Now, think about this. You bring up and you're leading off with the story about Steve Scalise. Can you imagine Scott Pelley of CBS News getting on mainstream media on a national broadcast and suggesting it was self-inflicted? Are you kidding me?
Yes. That's unbelievable. And then we had...
He had it coming?
That's what they're
saying. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Tammy, it's a larger illustration here of what I believe to be happening in a broader America. And granted, you know, Price as an incumbent carried this Georgia district by 62%, and Karen Handel just won it by 52%. So what? I really think the broader American voting public and all that are really getting an insight into how nasty and awful liberal progressives are. And I even, you know, beside the Scott Pelley example, Tammy, which is just disgusting to me, is, I mean, he ought to resign as a reporter over that, okay? But of course,
being
his buddies are protecting him. But just think about it, that the suggesting that this is self-inflicted and that somehow they had it coming and all of this, the hypocrisy is just awful. And I think the broader America is seeing these liberal talking heads on MSNBC saying, well, you know, it was the Republicans' fault that we're in this nasty discourse. Really? Show me 5 seconds of videotape of a Tea Partier turning over cars, crapping in cop cars, smashing storefronts, setting things on fire, and beating up their own professors because they don't want to hear a conservative speaker on campus. It's like, Tammy, this whole crew is having this out-of-body experience, an alternate that I believe, and I would like to hear what you think, that even the win such as it is in Georgia is yet another indictment of that alternative world that these liberal progressives are living in. I mean, the heads are exploding tonight again.
They are. And another person, MSNBC, Joanne Reed, did a show on Saturday, and she said, everybody is wishing the congressman well, hoping that he recovers. But Steve Scalise has had a history that we've all been forced to sort of ignore on race. He did come to leadership after some controversy over attending a white nationalist event, which he said he didn't know what it was because he is in jeopardy and everybody's pulling for him. We're required to put that aside. Now, okay, Scott Jones, can I just say that that is just freaking despicable. Absolutely.
Well, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. She went on to say, and he was rescued by 2 African Americans, including a lesbian African American. Okay. Is that not condescending to the Griner lady who really stepped up and did her job, that she has to be identified as a lesbian African-American cop instead of just a cop who did her job in a heroic manner?
And why do we care? Why do we care? I mean, she's a cop. She's a woman. Great. Women can do great things. But why does the sexuality even have to come into it? You know, there was
a time when the race. But I'm telling you, Tammy, that's a perfect example. That's all the Democrats have is identity politics. And after 8 years of Obama and the year and a half preceding that, and since then, here in these few months, I think people are tired of the identity politics, and you're a bigot if you don't acknowledge it, or you're a bigot if you don't live it and breathe it. She was a heroic officer of the Capitol Police Force. I don't care who she sleeps with. I don't care what color her skin is. Apparently, Steve Scalise woke up, and the first question he asked wasn't about anybody else but the 2 African-American cops that protected him. And she is sitting there on social media suggesting he's a racist?
Yeah, on social media and on her television show on MSNBC. Very interesting because, the perp, The guy that did this was actually a fan of MSNBC. And this is another thing that's crazy,
Scott. And a Bernie bro. And do you think anybody really reports that? Hell no.
No, they won't really talk about
it. If they've been a Paul Ryan volunteer or a Trump volunteer, that would be lead news over these hypocritical, lying, freaking media people.
It'd be lead news, it'd be front page, it'd be everything like that. But no, because he loves Bernie, he's from Illinois, stomping grounds of Obama the Great, we just don't hear about him very much. We'll be back after the break to wrap up and have a little more fun ranting with my buddy, Scott Jones. The Tammy Jackson Show, sponsored by dispatches at johnbiver.com. That's your site for the best conservative resources to fight and win the information war. We'll be back in a little bit.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Merrill Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road. His first traffic ticket. His first, and if he can help it, his last, opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show with my great guest, Scott Jones. If you're just joining the show, Scott Jones has served 3 U.S. presidents and 2 Texas governors. He's also a talk show host, a colleague of mine, and a great friend, and we're having fun spouting off and ranting. I want to read a couple tweets that are out there. Cynical Chuck told me just before you came on, Scott, because my first guest was Lawrence Schoenbrunn, and he's fantastic, and he's a legal scholar, and he is doing his best to expose fake law. But Chuck wrote, "Great guest, Tammy J. Now be careful not to get Pops Radio too wound up." And then
too late.
Too late. And our buddy Talk Radio 200, Seamus Fitzpatrick on Twitter, said there are people who don't know who Pops Radio is. So you know, you're pretty famous. He also said more ranting. So they want more ranting. So I'm going to tee up with this one, Scott Jones. Let's talk a little bit. And we obviously don't have a ton of time. We've got about 6 minutes here. I want to talk about Otto Warmbier. He was the American college student who, while visiting North Korea as a tourist, was sentenced to 15 years hard labor for trying to steal a propaganda poster from his hotel lobby. Now, everybody listening probably knows, but North Korea claimed that he was in a coma and that his condition was a result of botulism and a sleeping pill, but U.S. doctors have debunked that. And since then, unfortunately, tragically, this young man has died, and it is a horrible situation. The Trump administration worked hard to get him home here. I believe that there are about four or so more Americans still in prison there. What do you think about this whole situation, Scott? What should we be doing? What should our attitude towards the DPRK be, etc.?
Yeah, he lost consciousness because of a sleeping pill, and if you believe that, you believe Kim Jong Fat Boy has a big hoo-ha. It was murder, plain and simple. And you know, Greg Gutfeld suggested they sent him back because they didn't want the expense. I think they sent him back not in a humanitarian way. You know, he's been rattling his swords, but I think he's afraid Trump might do something, and they didn't want him to die on their soil, so they shipped back a vegetable. I think it is awful. The problem is we're so landlocked, and the military options are limited with South Korea some 35 miles away from the DMZ. We've got 20,000 troops over there. They've got about 2 million, it's a scary situation, but by God, Tammy, I wish there was some way a drone-based missile could be shot right up his ass and explode his little butt into a million pieces. It couldn't happen to a better person.
And tell me what you really think, Scott Jones.
Well, let me add one caveat to this. What sure. parent in their and given the political and military situation in Southeast Asia, would allow their son, no matter what the tour guide guaranteed, to go into North Korea, given the history of human rights violations and the snatching of Americans? I am not going to pile on to the parents or even Otto, who was apparently young, impressionable, and adventurous. But just, we got to be honest about this, Tammy. Would you have let your child, even though they're 21 at the time, or 20, or however old he was, go into the DPRK under the current conditions under any reason?
Oh, hell no. And word to the wise, I was going to say that very thing, Scott. Do not go to North Korea. People that think that they can go to some of these places, there's places that you just need to stay the heck away from right now. North Korea is one of them. Many of the Arab nations, Mexico, there's places in South America, Venezuela, and other places.
To be clear, Tammy, I'm not condemning the family or anything like that. It's just, it's a bad decision at a bad time. But even with that decision, it neither excuses nor normalizes or marginalizes what these idiot cutthroats did. And karma's a bitch. I really believe in karma, and I think it's going to come around to that little gout infested little shithead.
Yep. And that's like the law of the harvest, as we say, those of us that read the good book.
Yes, ma'am.
And I believe it too. Now, I wanted to bring up one little thing as we're closing here. There was, and this is more of the lefties. This is the kind of stuff that they say at times like this. They're despicable. They are. At HuffPo, there's a self-described revolutionary writer named LaShaw, and he went on a rant about it. And this was the end of the rant. Now, listen to this absolutely unadulterated bullpucky. He said, What a mind-blowing moment it must be to realize after 21 years of being pedestaled by the world simply because your DNA coded produced a favorable phenotype, that such favor is not absolute. What a bummer to realize that even the State Department, with all its influence and power, cannot assure your pardon. What a wake-up call it is to realize that your tears are met with indifference. As I've said, living 15 years performing manual labor in North Korea is unimaginable, but so is going to a place I know I'm unwelcome and violating their laws. I'm a black woman, though. The hopeless fear warm beer is now experiencing is my daily reality, living in a country where white men like him are willfully oblivious to my suffering, even as they are complicit in maintaining the power structures which ensure their supremacy at my expense. How is he now?
What a load of crap.
Yeah, they said, he is now an outsider at the mercy of a government unfazed by his cries for help. I get it. Now,
Tammy, I gotta believe there's a special place in hell for people like.
Can you believe anybody would say such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how nasty and vitriolic and mean the progressive left has become. But I mean, it's beyond that. I mean, I seriously think there is a widespread phenomenon that is like some sort of derangement syndrome that middle America has wholesale rejected that California, Manhattan, DC beltway claptrap. And they're still trying to cram it down our throat in spite of overwhelming evidence that, number one, the shit that they're pushing isn't true. And if you look at the map by county, the red counties that voted this last election, it's like they're doubling down on a losing strategy and message set and then becoming violent because the rest of America isn't voting for it or in accepting it. And I think they're in some serious, serious trouble, both mentally and electorally.
I think so as well. And just like that, our time is gone. I knew it would go so fast. Scott Jones, thanks so much for being on the show. I always love it when you're on the show, and I hope...
Well, Tammy, it's love. I love hearing your voice again, and I love being on with you, as you know. And thanks to Jack and Chuck and all of the loyal listeners of both this show and the station. And I hope to be back soon. I just needed a break. That's it.
Good for you, and we'll be waiting anxiously for you to be back on the airwaves. I'll have you back on my show again just because I love doing it. And you be well, my friend.
Thank you so much, Tammy. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Hey, thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with, of course, more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Do not be silent. Let your voice be heard because, folks, we have a country to save.
Cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang, boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time.